Sure.
And with that, we are at 1:59. So I think we are good to move directly into our open forum section. Again, this portion of the meeting is designated for public comment on petitions, proposals, and other items of interest not on the agenda. And we have our new attorney, Nick Michaels, will be taking over. So, Nick, if you have anything to say to those that are listening online or to those that are here with us in person, the floor is yours, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just as a reminder for all those present, both online and in person, you will be allotted 3 minutes to speak to the commission what it is you wish to speak. I will let you know when you approach the end of that time, if you get to that point, at which point you need to wrap up your comments. We'll hear first from Bill Hines. He's here representing Lake Oahe Walleye Restoration Coalition. He is here to address the Commission on Improvements for Fisheries and update our hatchery capabilities. We also have Bill Wackerly present, representing the same organization. Bill will actually be going first, speaking on the same subject.
All right. Welcome.
I turn it on. Is that hell?
All right. Perfect, yes.
It's a pleasure to be here. And I just want to start by thanking each and every one of you for all you do to keep South Dakota a great outdoor state. We're blessed, and we're blessed because of your efforts. As you probably know, I've told you before, the Lake Oahe Walleye Restoration Coalition was started in September 2022. A number of outfitters, towns, businesses up and down Lake Oahe were concerned about the walleye population. So we were organized to increase the walleye population in Lake Oahe and push forth those efforts. We met with John Lott and Mark Fensel in Mobridge to address our concerns and explain to them what our membership, which includes about 2,000 people, were concerned about on Lake Oahe, and it's expanded beyond Lake Oahe. It's statewide now. People are involved in fisheries, are really interested in what we're doing across the state. So we don't represent all of those people, but we've had a lot of input from the region and even membership up in Canada. But John Lott assigned Dr. Fensel to work with the coalition to work on improving the walleye in Lake Oahe. And the current surveys, the recent surveys, indicate that those efforts that were before we started and the efforts over the last year have been very successful. So we thank him for that. He's a great asset. Dr. Fensel has been very good to work with. But we quickly realized the problem with our stocking and our fisheries is we had inadequate hatcheries, and that we did not have the hatchery capacity to meet the requests of our own aquatic staff across the state. So we really think the state had been remiss in the past of addressing the hatchery production levels needed to maintain the fisheries in South Dakota. The coalition then met with Tom Kirschman, the aquatic staff, and the hatchery staff, and we discussed recommendations that we would have and our members had input that we had, tried to share it and team with them to improve the situation and correct any problems we might have anywhere in the state. That was a very successful meeting. We moved forward. The next thing, we reviewed the 2024 statewide fishery priorities and found that the RAS hatcheries weren't really identified and there weren't any real clear goals or objectives to complete them or improve our hatcheries. And we still maintain that the RAS hatcheries should be the number one priority in fisheries in South Dakota.
Sir, you are approaching your three-minute allotted time. Please wrap up your comments.
All right. And I know the Secretary Roblin has stated that customer service is the foundation of what the Game Fish and Parks does, and that's what we want to be, and it's a coalition, a team together. And we'd also request in the April 4th meeting, if possible, to be on your regular agenda so we can have some dialogue directly with the commissioner. And thank you for your time. Sorry I ran over.
No problem. We'll next hear from Bill Hines.
Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Commissioner.
Commission. I appreciate you having us, and I'm going to reiterate what Bill Wackerly has stated and gone forward with. I agree with everything he stated. I'd like to go a little farther and say that we have worked with Mark Fensel, Michael Barnes, John Lott, Cody and Brian out of Cleghorn. You guys have wonderful people working for you. Do whatever you can do to hang on with them. They're top-notch people. And I've been to a couple of the meetings, the Lake Oahe, whatever they called it, up in Mobridge and out of Rapid City, where they did a summation of what's going on. I'm agreeing and liking all of the stuff they're doing. But I do have a couple of concerns that we recognized over the last couple of years. One of them was, in my particular instance, Michael Barnes mentioned that he would like to have an internship program or something going on with Northern University. So I introduced some people, and we met with Dr. Snorr, Dr. Kiso, some other staff that they had, and we had two or three meetings, and then Michael Barnes had his staff from Blue Dog come over and meet with Northern. Everybody was very excited about getting together and providing an internship program for this and hopefully lead into a little bit farther program through Northern. They have also offered to donate some land for a potential future RAS at Northern. And then all of a sudden that stopped. I don't know what happened. And I guess I'm asking a question more than I'm trying to figure out what happened there, because it was very positive from both sides, and all of a sudden it got shut down. I think, and we thought, it would be a great addition to the RAS system, the hatchery system, being proximity of halfway between Blue Dog and Oahe. Everybody was excited about it, and that didn't happen. And then the next concern that I have personally is we were out of Cleghorn with Brian and Cody and Michael Barnes' staff out there and saw the new RAS facility is completed on the outside, but nothing is operating on the inside. So that threw up a red flag to me. As a former contractor, I understand. Contractors are notoriously slow. I understand that. But I don't understand the reasoning behind Brian and Cody are top-notch people, but they're actually having him glue all the plumbing fittings together. That, to me, is senseless. I think they ought to budget, somebody ought to budget some money, $200,000 to $300,000, hire a plumber, let him oversee him, and get this thing going. I mean, he's got six systems sitting there laying in a pile that just aren't put together. We could be kicking out our walleyes or salmon or bass, whatever fish are going to go through there, sooner than not. And I guess it's kind of a sad state of affairs when I go out there and see the stuff sitting there. Well, he's going to do
it. You are approaching your 3-minute a lot of time, sir.
But he's got other duties to do. Why put all that burden on him? Let's find some money and budget it, hire a plumber. He can direct them and tell them what pieces to put where. That's my opinion. Again, I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
We'll next hear from Dick Weaver.
Welcome, sir.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Commissioners, Secretary. I am Dick Werner. I farm near Harriet, South Dakota, on a farm that has been in my family for 128 years. I'm providing public comment today in support of the proposed non-resident waterfowl license increase. In 2014, I served in the South Dakota Legislature as a state representative that sponsored House Bill 1185. Passage of 1185 set in the state statute that the commission may not raise the number of non-resident waterfowl licenses by more than 5% from the previous year. 1185 had 73 of the 105 legislators signing on as sponsors and received amended passage in the Senate by a vote of 33-2 and in the House by a vote of 64-6. So why did I sponsor 1185 in 2014? The number of South Dakota resident waterfowl hunters was on a steady decline, yet the non-resident waterfowl license numbers could not be modified without legislative approval. The commission had no authority over non-resident waterfowl license numbers. The decline of resident waterfowl hunters has continued to decline. The number of resident waterfowl hunters has dropped in half by 2021 from its peak just before the turn of the century. Even since passage of 1185 and 20,014, the resident waterfowl hunters are down well over 3,000. The current proposed non-resident waterfowl license increase for consideration by the commission is not even 10% of the resident waterfowl hunter decline since passage of 1185. 1185 passed through the House without non-resident waterfowl licensing restrictions. My Senate prime, Senator Cory Brown, then came to me and said that the opponents, a few of them who are sitting in the room today, desired a percentage cap on the increase. I informed Senator Brown that I would be open to a compromise to amend the increase to 10%, understanding their concerns. Senator Brown then met with the opponents and came back to me and said that the opponents would be open to 5%. I agreed to the 5% compromise, and the bill was amended and then received overwhelming passage with 97 of the 105 legislators voting in support of the amended bill. I personally want to thank you for your willingness to serve the state of South Dakota as commissioners.
You are reaching your 3-minute allotted time, sir.
You are asked to make tough decisions that not everyone agrees with. That is the nature of public service. Your task is to make a decision that is in the best interest of South Dakota. I'm asking you to support the proposed non-resident waterfowl license increase, as it is in the best interest of South Dakota. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Warner.
We'll next hear from Cody Warner. He is appearing virtually.
All right. Can you see and hear me?
Yes, we can. You can go ahead and start.
All right. Good afternoon. I was going to try to make it over, but the roads were pretty bad this morning on Highway 12. So unfortunately, I am in Webster. I'm representing the South Dakota Waterfowl Association today, a group of approximately 500 members, waterfowl hunters, non-residents, and residents alike. And we are here to oppose the proposal, which will be voted on in April. And I just got a couple facts that I would like the commissioners to know. Out of all the public comments you've received, not one has been in favor of this. And I think that if there's a problem, you'd be hearing about it. I firmly believe you're going to get 99% of people that say they do not want this. I firmly believe that a commission member does have a responsibility to South Dakota, and South Dakota's voice right now is saying they do not want this. We're not going to hear from a lot of people that say you want this. And I would say that looking at the 2022 Hunter Satisfaction Survey, which we talked about earlier, it's on a scale of 1 to 7. The non-residents had a higher satisfaction value than residents. Non-residents had a satisfaction value of 5.7. Residents had a satisfaction value of 5.1. Non-residents and residents alike are very lucky to be able to come to South Dakota. The draw rates are incredibly high. In South Dakota, there were leftover licenses last year. So I guess I don't see where the need is to keep adding licenses when they're not even sold out. The zone, the five-county zone, from Brown County West, there were 150 licenses left over at the second draw last year. If there truly was a need, these would be sold out first draw. And the final thing is, if you guys can see my photo in the back, that's my daughter on her first duck hunt this year. It says Future Hunter. The decision being made by the commission, I firmly believe, will affect our future hunters. As you increase more non-residents, the likelihood that residents will have quality opportunity in the state of the future will go down. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We'll next hear from Paul Lepisto.
Welcome.
Good Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Commissioner, Secretary Roebling, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Paul Lepisto. I represent the South Dakota Division of the Isaac Walton League of America. And in the interest of time, as we have a full room and you have a busy agenda, all I'll say today is that we are drafting comments on the proposed increase of non-resident waterfall licenses. As an organization, we oppose it and urge you to oppose it as well. In our comments, instead of simply saying we're against this, we're going to offer an alternative. We have heard and we understand that the resident license sales have declined over recent years. We're going to offer something that will hopefully turn that around. To do the R3, the recruit, retain, and reactivate through a series of educational events and that would be widely promoted to get South Dakotans back in the fields and back in our wetlands hunting waterfowl once again. So please look for our comments that we'll submit shortly after this meeting is over for that proposal. And again, we would urge you to oppose the proposed increase. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Paul.
We'll next hear from Roger Hatling.
Welcome.
I'm going to make this real fast. You all have heard it.
Can you use the mic? We do have people that are listening online.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
You all have heard it and heard it and heard it. And the more residents, okay, I had it all figured out. Cody actually said it the best way. As the non-resident licenses goes up, the opportunity for South Dakota residents to hunt goes down. And perfect example, that is over east, because that's the only place I hunt is pretty much is over in the northeast part of the state. The divers, I grew up hunting there. My grandpa grew up hunting there. Stink Lake Pass was the only place we hunted from middle of October on. But anyway, that is the big thing, and I just hope you guys will vote no on this issue this time, at least this time, because there's enough there. There's enough non-residents in the state. And I'm sitting there talking like this, and I've got four grandsons that'll be coming here hunting this fall from Wyoming. And that's the other thing. My son has hunted in the state. He moved to Wyoming in 2002. He's missed 2 years as far as for drawing licenses, the 10-day license. He's only missed 2 years out of the, 2002 to last fall. So anyway, there's plenty of licenses, if available. Thank you much.
Thank you, Roger.
We'll next hear from Chuck Dieter.
Welcome.
Hello, Madam Chairman, Commission, Secretary Roebling. My name is Chuck Dieter. I'm from Brookings. I'm a retired professor from SDSU Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. And a good number of the people that work for Game Fish and Parks I've had in class. I taught, and the first time I ever had a commissioner that I had in class is Travis. But anyway, I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you. I've been hunting waterfowl here for 40 years, and 20 years ago I started the South Dakota Waterfowl Association, which Cody is now president. I've also been a member of the South Dakota Wildlife Federation since 1984, and we, like he said, there's 500 members of the Waterfowl Association who are basically everybody would be against the proposal. 4,000 Wildlife Federation folks would be the same. There'd be very little, if any, support for that. One thing I was going to mention is that there's a lot of wringing hands over the number of residents that we've lost. But if you look at the data, 1961, there was 140,000 resident pheasant hunters, and now we're down to 50,000 resident pheasant hunters. So that's a greater percentage loss than we have of waterfowl hunters. But we keep worrying about waterfowl hunters. And so anyway, We're kind of going the wrong way if we add licenses, because Manitoba, huge province in Canada, they've reduced their number to 2,800. And they've been talking to our state waterfowl biologist on how we do it, how we do our, because they're going to try to put in the same system we do, a drawing system. Kansas, doing the same thing. North Dakota's talking about it. So anyway, if you think about it, right now there's 8,300 licenses that come in South Dakota, with over 50% going to five county area around Webster. So they got 2,000 September goose licenses, 4,200 10-day licenses, 2,100 three-day licenses. So that's like a town of Madison or Sturgis, the population just descending on an area over a month. So we're talking about a lot of people. There's a lot more pressure than you think. So anyway, real quick, I've got a couple instances of run-ins I had with non-resident hunters last year. There's a place I have a hunt close to Brookings. A good friend of mine, he's been letting me hunt there for 30 years for Canada geese. And he's been saving it for me, which I know is great. So anyway, last year, my grandson and I were out there hunting in the field and having a good hunt. All of a sudden, this pickup stump's tearing out in the field. Minnesota license. Want to know what I was doing there. He was trying to kick me out. And I said, listen,
sir, you're already hunting 3 minutes allotted time.
Thank you. I've been hunting this for 30 years, and you're trying to kick me out of here. Well, I was going to get permission to try to hunt tomorrow. Well, you're not going to get permission, because I know you're not. So one other real quick. I was up by Bristol. There's some really nice guys, Hans Myers, that let everybody hunt up there. And there was one of those yellow sign drive-ins co-op, which is a great thing for the game fishing parks. But
so
anyway,
you
I was
to
turning.
Wrap this up now.
Okay, 1 second. I was turning the drive-in, and to go set up decoys, and all of a sudden this pickup with the trailer tore in front of me, went out real fast, threw out a decoy, and said, "Okay, we beat you to the spot." And it was a non-resident guide from Minnesota. So there are issues out there. So thank you very much. Sorry, I went over time.
We'll next hear from Zachary Hunk.
And ballot on private land only, and there are 500 licenses available. 74 individuals last year did not get licensed. However, this area should be taken into consideration if you're considering increasing the number of non-resident license types, because that license has already considered the areas that we've discussed over decades. Another consideration of this commission and of our stakeholders involved.
Sir, you are reaching your 3-minute allotted time.
Thank you. Provide additional opportunity on public or private areas that don't, that aren't those areas that we've already considered high use or placed restrictions on specific spots. Adding the statewide allocations or additional allocations defined outside of that 800Z86 will add pressure to the area. So if you just do a general addition to licenses, that pressure, those additional licenses are going to be used in the...
Sir, you do need to wrap up your comments.
I'll remain available for any additional questions regarding what I've said, or if you want any more information on last year's license statistics. Thank you.
Thank you, Zach.
We'll next hear from Greg Fisher.
Good afternoon. My name is Greg Fisher. I reside in Lake City, South Dakota. I'm in here in opposition to the increase of the non-resident waterfall licenses. I attended last year's meeting. There was not one positive or a yes comment about adding those, but it fell upon deaf ears. And again, here we are, again, hashing it over and over again. And to be quite honest with you, the people are, especially up in my area around the Britton, Sisseton, Webster area, are feeling left out, not listened to, ignored. Since I only have 3 minutes, I wanted to go back in into some of the comments that we're talking about Manitoba. Manitoba last year, the entire province gave out 2,900 licenses to the freelance non-residents, and they gave out 1,200 commercial licenses that still had to have a drawing for the guide services in Manitoba. So if you take a look at those numbers, the 1,100 plus the 2,900, we're looking at 4,000 in the entire province of Manitoba. You take a look at what we are giving for the non-residents, we're giving out currently, and correct me if I'm wrong, but according to Kelline TV, we're giving out split 2 5-day licenses that were jumped from $37.50 to $39.50 last year. And then the 3-day licenses went from $2,000 to $2,100. Now you add those numbers up, it's almost a 2-to-1 margin that we have here in the state of South Dakota. Here's a map. There is Manitoba. This is what we have in the northeastern part of South Dakota. Manitoba is saying, we've got a problem. We have too much pressure. Yet here in South Dakota, we dump twice as many non-residents as in this entire province of Manitoba. Now you tell me how that's possible without adding pressure. It just doesn't work out. It doesn't fit. It doesn't match. It doesn't. It's just not logical. Now, I wrote this letter. This is the unedited version to the Britton Journal last year, and I'll leave a copy here if anybody wants to read it. But again, the people in northeastern South Dakota, the resident sportsmen, are tired, and we just don't feel either from a fishing, even from a fishing standpoint, or from a hunting standpoint, we are being listened to.
You are reaching your 3-minute allotted time, sir.
I'll leave these here. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone present here in person that we miss?
I signed up, George Van Dell.
George Van Dell, come on up, sir.
Welcome, George.
Good afternoon. Madam Chairman, members of the commission, my name is George Vandell. Kevin, sorry. I'm going to try and be very brief. I spent a little time racking my brain trying to come up with a situation where, in my opinion, I had a run-in with a non-resident that ruined my hunt. And I came up with about a dozen. I'm not going to go through the details on all of them. Some of them are actually kind of funny, but I'll save that for a later time. The one that kind of was the straw that broke the camel's back involved an event up in northeastern South Dakota where I was sitting on the road. I can't remember if it was a walk-in area or if I had permission to hunt it, but it was definitely open to waterfowl hunting. It had both the access and it had the opportunity. There were ducks piling into this place. And so I was sitting on the road trying to figure out how I was going to get in there and what time I was going to be there and all up. And a truck rolled up right behind me from South Carolina. And so I took the time to get out of the truck and went back and said, say, I've got permission to hunt here. I'd like to hunt it tomorrow. How do you want to work this? And the guy behind the steering wheel looked at me and says, well, here's how we're going to work this out. The four of us are going to hunt it tomorrow and you're not. You go find another place to hunt. I don't like confrontations like that when it involves hunting. Hunting is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be recreational. You get out in the marsh, you do everything right. If the ducks cooperate, you have a great hunt. I haven't been up to the Northeast since because, frankly, everybody was chasing the same flock of mallards, and there's too many people in a small amount of area at a confined time. Just to elaborate, in order to really find a place to hunt, you find one place, you find a plan B, and you find a plan C. Okay, you've only got about an hour in the morning and an hour in the afternoon when you can really scout effectively. That's when the birds are moving. So you find a plan A, and you try and find a plan B, and you try and find a plan C. But you know what? If you get to plan A and there's already somebody there, it's already shooting time. Okay, so then you go to plan B, and if there's somebody there, you can't hunt there. You're not going to infringe on somebody else's right. I guess my final statement is it's different between non-residents and residents. I know that's hard to understand, but when you meet a resident at a boat ramp, and this happens every year, and if we're there first or we're there second, you talk to the people, and you say, okay, where are you going to hunt? If you were here first, you pick where you're going to hunt. Okay, that's fine. I'll go over here. Is that going to interfere with your hunt? No? Okay. So we go our separate ways. You can't negotiate like that with a non-resident. I'm sorry. They've come all this way. They think they've spent all this money. They think they're the gift of the state of South Dakota. And frankly, they're going to hunt where they want to hunt. That's my issue. And I think you have to turn this down, and you have to do a little more work on it in order to figure out
3 minute allotted time,
how to keep all the people at the same amount of time going to the same part of the state. Thank you very much.
Thank you, George.
Is there anyone else present here in person that we miss? Is there anyone else joining us online that we missed? That ends the public comment section, Madam Chair.
Very good, and that will wrap it up. Thanks to everybody who showed up in person and came to peer and shared your thoughts. We do appreciate that as a commission. And to those of you who joined us online as well, all of those that reach out through the emails, phone calls, and in-person events, your comments are not left on deaf ears. We hear you, and we work as a commission to make the best decision for all of South Dakota. So with that, we...